not very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello and welcome to your favorite figure skating podcast, The Run Through, where we talk about all things that make us kiss, make us cry, and make us scream from the rooftops. Man, I feel like a woman.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is the women's Olympic lore.
Yes.
I am but one of the women of the pod, Ashley Wagner, joined by another woman of the pod and not Olympic champion, Sarah Hughes. And tragically, not a woman, but
no.
good enough, Adam Rippon.
Not a woman, but good enough.
Doesn't
it's
it
good
feel
to be
good
here.
To be good enough?
It does feel good. It does feel like I'm being given a participation trophy, but I'll take it.
Well, you know, a lot of the women at the Olympics will receive only participation trophies. So yeah. I think it's fine.
A lot of men and women. I think the Olympics is really a big participation trophy.
For a
yes.
lot of people.
For a lot of people.
As someone who got a participation trophy.
Yeah, well, yeah. there was a medal too.
There was. Well, but in the individual event, participant through and through.
I have my participant certificate hanging in my office.
Oh, do you? Mine is crumpled up somewhere, not like
That's
out of a fit of
shocking.
Rage, but just well, like
in a
forgot
fit of
it was
rage.
There.
Yeah,
I have it. I have the bronze medal certificate in the same frame too. You've seen this for sure.
I've seen it for sure.
Yeah.
There.
Ah. Someone asked me today where I keep my medal.
And like, God, if I know.
I was like in a sock somewhere in my house, and the like
the panic
was not shocking because I hear that every time.
I feel like you get a rise out of telling people it's in a sock.
I love being like it's shoved in a sock.
Yeah, you do. You're like, oh, yeah. that old thing?
That? Ugh, somewhere. do
even,
I know where it
haven't
is?
I've seen it in years.
I do. I know where it is because I have to bring it in to chat with a elementary school soon about it. So I do have to like hunt it
nice.
Down.
So you have to find that sock.
I will pull it out of a sock. Okay. So we gotta get into the women's.
Yeah. This
lore.
Is your one-stop shop for who are the women at the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
It's very true. But in order to go forward, we do have to go backwards and paint a little bit of a picture of where we're coming from. So if we look at Beijing, God, this event was a shit show. I am so thrilled to be going into a women's event. This Olympics where we're not going to see trauma play out in front of our eyes.
Well, we don't know that. But
we don't expect it.
We expect it less. We didn't, to be fair, I don't think we expected anything that happened last time either.
That's fair. So just to like
we did
briefly go over this, Kamila Valieva of Russia was competing. She was the main doping scandal of the Olympics. The whole thing was, is she going to be allowed to compete? Is she not? She was deemed able to compete. And unfortunately, because I think our official stance as a podcast is she was a 15-year-old put in a position she never should have been put in. Unfortunately, the just pressure of that event, she crumbled. And gold went to Anna Sherbakova, silver, Sasha Trusova, bronze, Kaori Sakamoto. Now, a little kind of reminder of why we're saying this was so traumatic of an event. Medal ceremony. You see Trusova screaming in Russian about how she was feeling like she was tricked, that she had been promised gold pretty much, right? It just,
yeah,
it was very
intense. It was hard to decipher all of it, but I mean, the essence of the whole thing was you had these three teenage girls who trained together under a coach that is pretty abusive, and just saw, you know, two of them basically crack in different ways. And so And those were the three that were expected to sweep the podium. And then Camilla, who was involved in the doping scandal, had such a disastrous program for her that she ended up off the podium, which paved the way for Kaori Sakamoto from Japan to get third place. I think the like broader history, quote unquote, is that the last three Olympics women's events have been won by Russian skaters. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the last two, the Russians have gone 1-2. And here there is only one Russian skater who is going to compete, and she's going to compete as a neutral, and she is not favored to win. So we expect that the podium will look quite different than it has for the last three Olympic cycles.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in a really exciting chapter of women's skating. There's a lot that has been transformed with the landscape, with the Russians being pulled out of competition. You've seen less of a focus on quads in the women's event. And because of that, the landscape has shifted around a lot, and we've had a lot of athletes have to kind of really quickly figure out how they are competitive. And we've just seen this shift open up opportunities for other athletes that is really, really exciting. Another thing that's worth noting here, the age limit has been raised slowly over time since this last Olympics. And so this is the first Olympics that we are competing in where the minimum age is 17. In years past, it had been 15. So
mm-hmm. I think that
changes things.
I think that the age has actually changed the landscape maybe even more than anything else, because a lot of these like quads that we were seeing, they were being done by young little girls, 15, yeah. 16, who then by the time that they were 16 were like injured to the point of retirement. So mm-hmm. I think that like over the last like 4 years, these women have slowly kind of like they've changed the landscape. There's more of a focus on like this overall total package cleanliness. And I'm so excited for this Olympics. I think that this is going to be such an amazing women's event. It's so tight that mm-hmm. it's literally anybody's game for any color of medal. There is no runaway favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's not a lot of, because of the way the age turned over and how it doesn't favor as much of the young skaters, like really young skaters, we've seen certain skaters who are a bit older really come into their own and find success, mm-hmm. who we will talk about. But this is, I mean, it's a big reset still. Like there's three skaters from the top 10 at the last Olympics that are going to compete at this Olympics, and only mm-hmm. one medalist who we should talk about, Kaori Sakamoto. Yeah.
I think we got to get right into it. And as we go through these athletes in other disciplines, we kind of go in order of importance or likelihood of success. This women's event, there are like 10 iterations of what a podium could look like in mm-hmm. a good way, not necessarily because disaster has struck, but because every athlete in like the top, almost top 10 is fairly evenly matched.
Yeah.
There's a decent amount mm-hmm. of competition here. So
yeah,
I want to get started with Kaori, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think as like the large level set, if you sit down and watch the women's event, you should be thinking about Team Japan and Team USA mm-hmm. primarily. Mm-hmm. And they mm-hmm. each have three women on it who all have podium potential.
Yes.
And then there are some other dark horses for the podium as well.
Yeah.
So let's do it. Kaori Sakamoto, since she won bronze at the Olympics, has won three world titles mm-hmm. and got second at the most recent world championships last year. She has easily been the most dominant skater of the quad. And doesn't do so with a triple axel or with a quad jump. She does it with skating quality and mm-hmm. with jump quality. And she's gone to the last two Olympics. She was in Pyeongchang in 2018, beloved in the skating world, absolutely beloved. And this will be her final season. She's retiring. Mm-hmm. So she's doing a program called Time to Say Goodbye in the short program, which I think is going to be really emotional for a lot of us who have watched her over the years. But Kauri is sort of like a big sister to a lot of the women who are competing, not just in Japan, but like worldwide. A lot of women who are younger than her have watched her compete and really look up to her. She's 25, which is older than most of them.
Wait, she's only 25? That's so funny, because the way that I feel like we've been talking about her, if you were to tell me she's 32, I'd be like,
yeah. Well, because been just like ever present. Like, yes, she's always there and always on the podium. So, it feels like we've known her for so long. Yeah. She's
Kauri Sakamoto is always watching, always there, always
always
watching.
Competing at the Olympics. Pyeongchang was her first Olympics, 2018.
Yeah, it's crazy that this is her third.
Yeah, she's also, and it's... Go ahead.
She's also the first woman since Peggy Fleming to win those three world titles that Sarah talked about in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she's made quite a name for... She's making quite a name
she's
for
good.
Herself.
She's good.
We think she's got a bright future ahead of her. Yeah. I mean, she's... I think, like, what's so rare about Kauri is that the way that her quality has endured over such a long period of time. Yeah. Like, it's just really rare that this happens, partially because people get injured, partially because you just have more of an off season sometimes. But, like, Kauri has been to the World Championships 6 times. She's been to the Olympics twice, and she's never gotten below 6th place at any of those.
God, wow.
That's amazing. Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, she was top 5 at her first World Championships. She was top 6 at her first Olympics. Like,
yeah.
So, I think we believe on this podcast that if Kauri goes completely clean at the Olympics, she will be a favorite for the gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I believe that.
She's just so... What makes her different, because she's not competing the triple axel, she is like a powerhouse. Her jumps are going to cover half the ice. Mm-hmm. They're massive. Mm-hmm. She's fast. She has the skating quality. Her packaging this year is brilliant. Time to Say Goodbye is her short program, and then La Vie en Rose, but it's like this, it's a version that makes so much sense for her. And then on top of that, she looks like $1 million. She looks so expensive, and it's like she decided, this is my last year. I'm going to look famous, I'm going to be famous, and I'm going to win an Olympic title.
Yeah, I agree. And like, just to piggyback off that, like, her style is, it's beautiful, but there is this like masculine energy with it. It's like a masculine and feminine, and it's very, it's like very not like Pretty Princess, but no, it's gorgeous. It's great. It's really good.
It's very like Midori Ito. It's powerful. It's strong. It's not like delicate by any means, but she makes it beautiful in her own way.
Yeah. We love her. I think everybody in skating loves her. Like, there will not be a single skater who would be upset at Kauri Sakamoto winning the Olympic title, including the ones who are competing against her.
Yes.
That's like who she is. She's like silly and fun with all the young skaters and has taken on this sort of like maternal role with them. And
she's like the auntie, the fun auntie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That will beat you.
Yeah, the one auntie who will beat you with a smile on her face.
Yeah, with kindness.
With and kindness. 3 world titles on her back.
Right. It's going to happen to you, and you're going to be like, oh, love that girl.
Yep. We love her.
But Kauri is not the only world champion on this list. There is another world champion who was at the last Olympics and then famously retired on Instagram with the caption that started with, hey. And
16 Ys.
Yes. And then she decided that she missed the adrenaline of competing and came back to skating on her own terms. We are talking about none other than 2-time national champion, Grand Prix final champion, and last year's world champion, Alyssa Liu.
Mm-hmm. So Alyssa is your alt girl of the U.S. team. As of recording, she has raccoon hair. I don't know what the actual style is called, but if you imagine a raccoon tail, that is on her head. She could shave.
She's adding a ring for every year of her life. That's what she said, like a tree.
Which we were talking and joking, and I was like, that's like a tree. And then literally a couple of days later in an interview, that is actually her intention.
To be a tree.
To be a tree.
Adam did famously make an Instagram post. Go back and look if you missed it on our Instagram of the three of us wearing her raccoon hair as wigs. And she did love it.
Wait, but did you see it? She reposted it and said, guess I'm going bald now.
Well,
because she can't, she can't be mainstream.
Well, see, I took this two ways. I took it as like we stole her hair, so now she doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, and so like, oh, now I don't have my hair. I guess I'm bald now. Or that like three old millennials ruined a style.
Cool. Yeah. Yes. We made it less cool.
And I do, knowing Alyssa, I do think it's like, oh, you stole my hair. Otherwise.
Yeah.
But I mean, it could, maybe I'm being optimistic.
I like the idea.
Sarah,
of her
you actually looked kind of good.
Sarah did look good, and Sarah everybody good. Said it.
My edit was fugly.
Well,
take it up with the editor.
Take it up with Alyssa.
That's true. That's true. So a little bit of background. She was kind of this childhood prodigy, really competitive. She was competing triple axel. She was competing quads. And we were watching her come up, just thinking like, this is the next Michelle Kwan. This is the next, like, it girl for the U.S. And
she was, like, the U.S. answer to the Russian girls that we were talking about earlier, where they would have these young teenage girls, 12-year-olds, coming up doing quads and triple axels, and Alyssa could do that when she was young. Yeah. And so that's what people thought a little bit, like, that she was going to be.
It was a relief because we were watching the senior scene of just new Russian with quads, new Russian with quads, new Russian with quads. And then finally we were like, oh, okay, well, we've got a girl who's going to be able to do that. We finally have one. And so just when we thought we were kind of set and secure with that athlete, we get the, hey, and she retires.
Hey. Yeah, it's been real, was essentially the tone of the retirement post.
Yeah.
I mean, she was so young when she did that, you know, still a teenager. So posting like a teenager, and like, you know, Alyssa has never been anyone but herself. And so she goes skiing a few years and is like, yeah, okay, maybe I'll try skating again. And everybody's like, oh, okay, interesting. And then within 6 months of starting to compete again, she's world champion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
So she is your reigning world champion entering Olympic season.
Now, one other thing is, like, she has this really I don't give a fuck attitude. I think, don't be mistaken, you don't win the world title if you don't give a fuck. But she does have this like levity and perspective that you only really have after a career.
Yeah.
And I think that is what makes her such a good damn competitor, is that she has a greater perspective of like the whole process. And I think like she's a huge part of why when you see like the U.S. women's team, like in particular, that like there's a big camaraderie there. Because the one of the girls right up at the top is just does not see the stakes in the same way of like success for you is not success for me. Mm-hmm. And I think she's a huge part of like that, like, wow, the U.S. women really seem close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the best. I think she's one of the best things that has happened in women's sport. She's redefining what it means to be competitive. You're right. She looks like she doesn't give a fuck. And actually, I think you're going to see, especially with Olympic coverage, some people are going to fucking hate that about her. And some people are going to love that about her. I think that can be really polarizing, but just know just because she's chill doesn't mean she doesn't care, because she works incredibly hard. She's skating because she wants to. She's doing it in her own way, on her own terms. And I think she's so fucking cool.
Yeah, I think to a degree, though, in a good way, she doesn't care. Like, she knows that that life will be there and the world will turn the next day if she doesn't skate well.
Yeah,
and
she's like, lived
that's,
it.
And that's like what it is like, it's not that she's not trying or she doesn't care. She just knows, she just has a lot of perspective from having left the sport for a while and then come back. So yeah, she's awesome. I do think she's had a really good influence on the rest of the US team. Mm. And, you know, as a result of the new perspective and whatever she's doing in training is obviously working. Like, she's been the most consistent US woman for a year. Yeah. So when we talk about Alyssa, like, I don't have a lot of doubts about Alyssa being able to do two clean programs at the Olympics, because I haven't seen her do anything else all year.
Gonna be clean.
You know, she's just kind of like, okay, I'm just gonna go out and do my program. And she just lands everything. And you're like, oh, all right. And okay. I mean, you know, that's kind of like how it feels. But she I think has a slightly lower ceiling than another woman on the US team that we've talked about, but she's so consistent that she's been able to win out a lot of those competitions because she just doesn't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she has a really she has a really standout short program that's really beautiful, that I think everybody's gonna love.
Can we say why she's skating to this program? Because that is funny. Not funny. Tragic. She was
famously very opposite adjectives. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this program, The Promise by Laufey, she really connected with it last season. It was beautiful. And so instead of repeating that program, she was going to kind of do like a follow-up version of this short program to different music, also, I believe, still by Laufey, but it was in collaboration with another artist. And this artist is the guy, what is his name? Where there was a dead body found in one of his cars. And so he's currently under investigation for his role in that
murder
potentially, allegedly.
And he's in under investigation for murder. That's
that's pretty factual.
Murder, but he is under investigation.
I appreciate Ashley saying allegedly, like there's gonna be some like litigious
like run through
snapback at this run through podcast.
Oh my god. She had to change her program.
She ditched the new program and went back to the old one that did not include a possible
murder.
Yep. And
somebody who's murdering the competition, though, Amber Glenn from the United States. She is a three-time national champion. She's the first three-time national champion since our very own Ashley Wagner, and the first woman to repeat as national champion three times in a row since Michelle Kwan.
Mm-hmm.
She has the triple axel, and she also has like a really good story of like not being able to kind of pull it together. And then in the last few years has just really solidified herself as somebody who like you will always see up at the top. And out of the three US women, I think we believe she probably has the highest ceiling. And that if she were to go clean, it would be very hard for anyone to beat her.
Yeah. We watched her at US Championships and all three of us were like, if she skates like that at the Olympics, she could win.
Mm.
Yeah, I think they're like, she is, I think if every single woman we talk about today were to skate their very best at the Olympics, and I hope that happens, but if every single woman were to skate their very best, this is the only woman from the US who I think would be in contention for the gold medal. We are talking about Amber Glenn. We haven't said her name yet, right?
We did.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Don't worry.
But
covered. Bases covered.
Well, I'm going to say it twice.
Amber Glenn. Nice. You said it twice.
And we are Glenn heads on this podcast.
We are. That is true. Yeah, she's also the first bisexual woman to compete in the women's event at the Olympics. Some queer history. She is skating to Madonna, so she is dressed like a whore in the short program, which is also
amazing.
Part of queer canon.
Yes. For this costume, she has a necklace on this costume. It is so well done, and there's like charms on it. You see a little A for Amber. Her coach, Damon Allen, I hope he's able to wear this at the Olympics. I don't see why he wouldn't be. But for a gift, for I think it was like a Christmas present, she gave him matching like lapel brooches to her costumes, and it's so cute.
Yeah, it's very cute.
Yeah, Amber has like, she's the oldest one on the team. She's 26, which is, did you guys say this? The like stat about she's going to be the oldest U.S. woman to compete in the women's figure skating event at the Olympics since 1928.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously 26 is not that old.
Yeah.
And so, but just to like give you an idea of how rare it is to make it that long at this high a level. And, you know, but she really is an anomaly because she's come into her own in the later years of her career, as opposed to, you know, a lot of people come into their own much earlier on and then aren't able to keep it going to this age. Whereas she has just found something in her training, in her like mental, psychological work, whatever, like the, you know, combination of everything to just like start showing up to big events and big moments. And now here she is. This is her Olympic debut.
It's also important to know that a few years ago, she passed out in a cryo freeze and got a concussion.
Yeah.
That is important to note.
Yeah.
And she once also got like showed up to a competition with a black eye from having collided with someone in practice as well.
Yeah.
That's queer history.
That is queer history.
Yeah. How'd you get that black eye?
But yeah, her triple axel is amazing. It's going to be such a highlight. The Madonna program is going to be, I think, like win so many people over.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. She is a really emotional skater, and like you can like see that come through when she performs, which I do think sometimes makes it harder for her to go clean with the jumps.
Mm-hmm.
But when she goes clean, it's so worth it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when she goes clean, you're going to see her finish her program and she's going to be
wins.
And you're gonna be like, oh my god, she's injured. She's fine.
She's gonna grab a body part.
Yeah,
she's fine. She does it every time.
Yeah,
and she's like, don't worry about it.
She's like Peter Griffin from Family Guy when he like trips and falls and holds his knee for 5 minutes and is like,
Yeah.
And that's our girl. Another girl who is
she
our
is
girl.
Sort of the mom of the two other girls on the team. So she, because she's like 6 years older than Alyssa, and our next US girl who Adam was about to introduce is even younger.
Is Isabeau Levito from New Jersey.
Yeah.
From New Jersey by way of Milan. Her family is from Milan. Her mom is from Milan. Her grandmother still lives there. So she's a hometown Jersey girl in Milan.
That's as Italian as it gets. New Jersey Italian in the United States of America?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Isabeau is a national champion herself, and she's also a world medalist. So she was a world medalist, and these are both from 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And now Amber Glenn, three-time national champion, does not have a world medal. So the scope of all of these women is like they're very, but Amber Glenn has like a Grand Prix final title, which is another huge like international title to have. These women are fantastic. Now, of the three of them, Isabeau is, and she kind of likes to embrace it, the ice princess.
Totally.
She embodies the, like, what do you, if you closed your eyes and, like, what does a figure skater look like?
In a snow globe.
In a snow globe. It looks like Isabeau.
Mm-hmm.
She's beautiful extensions.
She's doing Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She skates to Zooby Zooby Zoo.
Zooby Zooby Zoo.
Zooby Zoo. Yeah.
This is, this short program is made for her.
Yes.
It's a work of art. It's the best that it suits her style better than anything I think we've ever seen. She has a wild jump technique that
true
only works for her, but god damn it, does it work for her?
It really, I mean, it does. I mean, she has had some injury struggles in the past couple seasons, but this season leading up to the Olympics has been, I mean, solid as a rock, you know, really consistent. And I mean, she skated as well as I've ever seen her skate at US Championships in January. So she's coming into this with a ton of momentum. Mm-hmm. And I do think people are going to love Isabeau because of that ice princess quality. And she's, it's funny because, like, on the ice, she is this sort of, like, she gives you this, if Amber's dressed like a hooker, like, Isabeau is whatever the opposite of that.
She's going
is.
To
like,
church.
She is fully classic. Like, she's wearing elbow length gloves and, like, has her hair up and, like, a beautiful updo and is just, like, going to high tea. Right.
But it's funny because,
like, she's not like that off the ice.
Yes.
No.
She's the hooker.
Well, she's the one who said that they'd be keeping the hose on their toes. Never forget.
Like, complete goofball off the ice.
She's a little weirdo in the best of ways.
I love her. I say that she's, I feel like they're all my daughters, but this is
your
daughter.
Biological daughter.
Yeah.
The others are adopted.
I think if we each have, like, a daughter on this team, it's like Ashley has counterculture, Alyssa, who's, like, back with perspective. I have Amber.
Mental health moment.
And Adam has Isabeau.
Yeah.
They're all collectively our family.
Wait, but they're fandoms. Losers.
Yes.
Yeah. For Alyssa Lou or Lunatics.
Or Lunatics, you pick.
Glenn heads for Amber Glenn and Isababies for Isabeau.
Yes.
Previously known as Isabarbs, but because we have had to
rebrand.
She is a huge Nicki Minaj fan, although I don't know that that's still the case now.
Yeah.
We haven't
spoken to her since Turning Point USA.
Yeah, so we do have to double check. We're going with Isababies or the fandoms.
For safety.
But yeah, these three women, you know, Adam mentioned, like, world medals, but at last year's world championships, Alyssa finished first, Isabeau finished fourth, and Amber finished fifth. Like, they are all right there for a podium spot. And Amber and Isabeau are skating better than they were last season, in my opinion. So that fourth and fifth could easily turn into a second, third, first, whatever it may be. So, and they're all, this whole team is great friends, which is something we don't see very often in the women's
From experience, doesn't really happen.
I mean, part of it is, like, skaters train alone in different parts of the country and don't get to spend that much time together. It's not like, you know, gymnastics where they have team camps every month that they go to. You know, they go to a couple camps in the year, right?
Not even a couple, like one.
Like,
and
I
then
think
maybe like
they go
tour
to like two, right? I mean, that's, I know of two that they've been to in the last year.
There are more. So they've definitely made it more like feel like you're part of a team now than when we were skating, for sure.
Yeah, not really.
And it's showing. It's showing.
Yeah,
these girls are making TikToks like all the time together. They're great. So they're going to be such a fun team to cheer for. Wait, by the way, someone commented on one of our episodes and suggested a name for the three of them being Alamo, like Remember the Alamo, which is making me laugh.
God. Let's leave tragedy out of this.
I mean, you brought tragedy into this. Murder.
I did it. This is really funny. Allegedly.
Now you're going to love this story. You're like, it's this is so funny.
Actually,
he's being
tragic.
Tried for murder, allegedly.
Okay, wait. Can we talk about my daughter from Japan? My Japanese daughter, Ami Nakai.
Sure. Yes. So,
Ami Nakai.
Ami Nakai came out of nowhere. And people who follow skating and watch junior skating are going to be like, what are you talking about? She's been around. But she shot out of a cannon onto the senior circuit this year. She has a triple axel. She is absolutely in this mix because she's been incredibly competitive this season. I think, I mean, I haven't checked the scores recently, but doesn't she still have the second highest score total after Kaori?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she's someone who is worth watching. Her short program is, I think, the better of her programs. It's so big and sweeping. And when she lands the triple axel, she skates with a lot of joy. She skates like she doesn't feel the weight of the world because it's her first time senior. And she's able to just like go out onto the ice and be like, let's see what happens. Like she doesn't have expectations. And because of that, or she skates like she doesn't at least. Because of that, I feel like we've watched an athlete be incredibly free on the ice. But triple axel isn't as solid as like Amber's is. So it's going to be a little bit of a wild card element. If she hits it, she's incredibly competitive. It's just if she hits it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's still competitive. It's just that she does have a little bit more of a juniorish quality to her because she's so fresh. And so her artistry scores will trend a little bit lower if she's not completely clean. So like mm-hmm. she really needs to hit everything to be, I think, in the medal mix in Milan.
Yeah.
But she's such like a joy to watch, to Ashley's point.
Such a joy. I like the short way more than the long. The long feels really young to me.
Yes, but I love...
You have a good point about it.
I love the long because I think you're going to get a lot of young, like young kids watching that going like, oh my God, I want to be just like her or I could do that. And so mm-hmm. I think that like maybe in the appeal of an overall competition to Ashley's point that it does feel young. But I think when we think in like the scope of the Olympics, if you're like watching for the first time, I think you're going to fall in love with her and you're going to feel like she's young and you're going to feel like she's inspiring and she's a great little performer, big smiles, like mm-hmm. heart on her sleeve. So I think like for a general audience, it's like it's very good for
yeah.
the general audience.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll love her.
And then should we go third member of Team Japan?
I agree.
Let's round out.
We're going in no particular order. I'm saying third because we haven't mentioned her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mone Chiba is the third member of Team Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to Ami is a little less established on the senior scene, but Mone is certainly more established than Ami is because mm-hmm. Mone sort of made her breakthrough last year and ended up as the world bronze medalist last season. So she's coming in here in theory as the third best in the world. Mone has had a little struggle this season being as consistent as she was last season when she first broke out. And I don't know if that's a result of, you know, like Ashley said, like when you first come up, you don't feel the pressure or the expectations as much because no one knows as much about you or what you're capable of and aren't expecting you to achieve at this very high level. But once you do, you know, and she wins the bronze medal at Worlds, well, then the expectation is you're a top three skater in the world going into the Olympic season.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it feels a little like she has like struggled under that pressure.
Yeah. I mean, she's intense. You can tell that she wants this so badly. And she had a lot of success this Grand Prix season. She won both of her events, but then we saw her kind of crumble under the pressure at the Grand Prix final. She finished fifth and has had just a little bit of trouble in the later part of this season so far. When you have that first year under your belt, the second season now comes with expectations. Mm-hmm. And so this is why we talk about the age limit really mattering in this event in particular, because we have a couple of athletes where, you know, first year senior versus second year senior, we're seeing pressure on some of these athletes in a way that maybe in years past they would have been able to get out of the way a couple seasons earlier that they just have to do this season. So she definitely can be in the mix. She's incredibly competitive. She's a great skater, very technically sound. She's going to squeeze every point possible out of her elements. She's got that great of execution going for her. She's a high scoring athlete, but it's just kind of, okay, can she relax and let herself skate and get out of her own way?
Yeah, because it's just as of recently, like the last three events that she's been in is pretty much the only time, because she was kind of solid as a rock. And mm-hmm. for a minute was like, she's really going to put pressure on those girls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's only been these last three events. And so if she can shake it off, she's right back in the mix. But that's her biggest like hurdle.
Yeah. She has a really fun short program.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The Donna Summer that I think will, you know, stand out if she is like performing it as well as we've seen her. Mm-hmm. And she has a really great Romeo and Juliet free skate. She has really good material. Like everything is there.
Yes.
Yeah.
For her.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good sign in the short program if she's like smiling early on, because then you're like, okay, she's relaxed. She's like actually performing it a bit more. If you don't see her smiling early on in the program, it makes me nervous for her.
Yeah. Panic.
Yeah. And we don't want Ashley to be nervous.
No, it's about how I feel watching you skate.
Yeah.
Now, should Adelia? We move on? Yeah, let's move on to our neutral athlete, the Russian Adelia Petrosian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so no such thing as a neutral athlete, and yet they are here. We have mm-hmm. two in figure skating, Adelia Petrosian being one, and then Peter Guminek as the other in the men's event.
Yeah, they're the Russians. There's also a Belarusian neutral athlete in the women's event.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Yes, so there are technically two neutral athletes in the women's event, but Adelia is the one with a chance at like making an impact at the top level.
Yes, so she qualified here through a qualifying competition in Beijing earlier this season, where it was the first time we really ever saw her internationally, and she got a good score. Mm-hmm. But the thing about Adelia is that her whole Olympics, one aside, we can talk a little bit more about like the lore of it all. And like her coach is the same coach of Kamila Valieva and of the Olympic champion from 2018 and Yulia Lipnitskaya from 2014, who was like a star of the team event in Sochi. But Adelia's entire Olympics, I think, is going to come down to whether she can do a triple axel in the short program.
Mm-hmm.
Her entire Olympics is all about that, because her quality is the quality of her skating is less refined than the Americans and the Japanese. But she can do the quadruple jumps. And in the short program, the women are not allowed to do them. And the only kind of like very like super bonus element they can do is they can do a double axel or a triple axel. This is the advantage of Amber Glenn. And Adelia is capable of doing a triple axel. And so if she even really wants to be considered in the mix, she, I think, has to do a perfectly clean one in this short mm-hmm. program to be considered a serious contender in the free skate.
Yeah. Well, and the thing to know, if you don't, is that the way that start orders are determined for international competitions like this is via your world standing points. And so because the Russians have been banned from international competition, Adelia has had no opportunities to get world standing points. So she will skate very, very early on mm-hmm. in the women's short program, whereas everyone else we've been talking about, the Japanese and American women, are going to skate at the end. And typically what we see is scores go up as the event goes on. That's just sort of the way that it is, partially because of the way it's organized. The better skaters usually go at the end. But there's also just sort of a a natural trend towards, you know, the judges almost like saving room to make sure that there's room for skaters to go above these people mm-hmm. later on. Mm-hmm. It's not entirely fair the way that that happens, but that's the way it is. So she's already at a disadvantage because she's gonna skate so early on that I agree with Adam's point. I think a perfect short program is the only thing that keeps her in the running at all. And even that, it may not be enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She is a prime example of the age limit being pushed and the culture of skating having to adjust. She is an athlete who, as we mentioned, is capable of the quads, but is very much of the generation of you get in while you're young in this prepubescent body that can rotate really fast and do the quads, and you're competitive while you're super young. And she's had to kind of take that recipe and extend it further into her career. And so she's kind of dealing with that post 17 growth. She's had some injuries that she's been dealing with. And so she's an interesting athlete to watch simply by the nature of the sport shifting and her having to adapt along with it and stay competitive in a quote unquote older body. Mm-hmm. So she's a little bit of
those
an unknown.
Old those bodies, old teenage bodies.
She 17. Is in fact 18 years old.
18.
It's almost Excuse time to put
me.
Her
Sorry,
out
I was
pasture.
Trying to keep her younger, but now I know she's just over the hill. My God.
Over the hill, born in, say it with me, 2007.
That's rude.
That's rude. Crazy. Oh my God. Now there is a skater that there have been skaters, this is a tale as old as time, where there have been like athletes from America who compete for other countries. There are athletes from Russia who compete for other countries. And one of the next skaters that we're going to talk about, she is Russian born but has represented the country of Georgia for the past few years. And she's quoted as saying, I've been there, you know, I was there this summer and I love it there.
Right. She's vacationed in Georgia.
Yes. And we are talking about Anastasia Gubanova. She's a European champion, but for me, she's most famous for at the Beijing Olympics. She reposted a post that was sent to her that said, good luck to everyone except test tube emoji, drop of blood emoji, DNA emoji, pill emoji.
Yeah. Needle, I think, was in there.
Needle,
too.
Yeah,
there was a needle.
Yeah, the blood drop needle.
So, yeah, Anastasia, a former Russian who was happy to throw shade at current Russians during the last Olympics. She has,
we
by the way, represented Georgia for almost 10 years.
Wow.
She's been vacationing there for almost 10 years.
Well, because she was at the 2022 Olympics for Georgia.
Yes.
So it's been, you know, at least, but I think she stopped representing Russia in 2018 or something like that. So it's been a while. And so she has had opportunities to go to Georgia. I'm just not sure she's taken those opportunities. But really enjoy her dramatics.
Yes.
Dramatic indeed. She has kind of an interesting season this year. So she can be, the highs are high and the lows are low. So last year at the World Championship, which is really what informs Olympic qualification spots, her low was so low that she actually didn't have the opportunity to qualify the spots needed. And so she had to go and compete at the same event that we saw Adelia at earlier on in the season. And she had to go earn her Olympic spot there, which was just kind of crazy to see because she's an athlete of a totally different caliber than the other women in that event who were trying to get their spots. So she got it together, got her Olympic spot. And really has still struggled this season to put it together in a solid way, coming off of a pretty fresh, what was she, third at Europeans?
She got fifth this year.
Fifth? Why am I? Oh, no.
She got
even
second
on the
in the free skate. She
was
had like a bad
skate.
Short program, and then she had a great free skate. Yeah.
Yeah. Watch out for, she has in the men's Laura, we talk about a cultural appreciation program. Mm-hmm. She has a complete cultural appropriation short program.
Yeah.
That when she got pushback for this program, really only doubled down. She will have a bindi. She will be doing movements that someone saw someone do once
in the 1920s.
In a Bollywood
yeah.
movie.
That's the Georgia way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how they do it over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
go there once or twice a year for the past 8 years. They watch a few Bollywood films and then they head right out to
Milan Cortina. I know
Milan,
what I need
Cortina.
To know. Mm-hmm. I've seen it all.
I've seen what I need to see.
Her free skate is to Ghost. It's lovely. It.
Yeah, yeah, she does. She's very like, she does a lot of like European voidy things.
She does. She does. She, what
well,
was the
Indian
outer space?
Voidy things, apparently.
Yeah, last season, her, the theme of her program, and this is like a direct quote that's translated into English. So maybe it comes us, it rolls off the tongue a bit more, but the theme of the program was she got shot out into space and she's just there. So the program is about
one of
being
my...
shot into outer space. No,
one of my
no
favorite
resolution
ever.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's like the movie Gravity, or
yes.
George Clooney just floats forever.
And that's
yes.
it. She is George Clooney.
I think George Clooney's character died, to be
well,
fair.
Well, yeah, that was assumed.
Eventually
I think.
You do.
And
yeah,
if
we
you're
all
just floating
do.
In outer space, mm-hmm. you definitely do.
Doesn't go well for you.
No.
Would we like to talk about the Korean women?
Yes. South Korea also has more of a recent tradition, but a strong skating tradition over the last 15 years in the women's event, starting, I mean, a little bit more than that, actually. Yuna Kim for South Korea won the 2010 Olympics, and that sort of started what we see now in like a strong women's program mm-hmm. in South Korea. So there are two South Korean women who are competing in Milan.
Mm-hmm. So we have Haein Lee, who had a lot of success in 2023 and hasn't quite seen the same level of success since. She had some legal drama that also kept her off the competitive scene for a little bit. She was world silver in 2023, four continents champion 2023. And then we also have Jia Shin, who is new to the scene, really, really big on the junior level, four consecutive world junior silvers, and really consistent. But this year, being her first year senior, she's a good example of where Ami Nakai is like, no expectations, just going to see what happens, and it's working for her. I think for Gia, it's first season, this is terrifying. And has skated. She had...
There's a little of that for sure. I think Gia Shin had a far more... longer and more successful junior mm-hmm. career than Ami Nakai did. So mm-hmm. Gia Shin was like this name that even people who don't really follow the junior level knew was eventually going to come up and expected to make a big impact. So
yeah.
she didn't get the benefit of this sort of relative anonymity that a lot of
That's
skaters
a good
have
point.
When they start.
Mm-hmm.
Because she yeah. was second at Junior Worlds 4 years in a row before she came up to seniors. She's like very consistently good on the junior level that people really expected this big impact. And now she has to adjust to the senior level. I mean, she's skated well enough this season to make the Olympic team. So that's not nothing. But
right,
we've
yeah.
definitely seen some ups and downs.
Mm-hmm. But she's a dark horse because she, at the beginning of this season... like was made a huge impact at one of these like smaller international competitions where like Amber Glenn went clean, Gia Shin went clean, and Gia went ahead of Amber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She skates to two classical pieces of music. She's doing Chopin and Lieberstrom. Like she's extremely, extremely classical, has sort of a quiet, muted style in mm-hmm. the way she skates, which is partially just, again, like as you come up when you're younger, you just like aren't always prepared to like emote to the rafters. You know, it depends mm-hmm. on the skater. So I think the classical style suits her more right now. I love to watch her skate, especially mm-hmm. the short program. I find it to be very, very beautiful.
Yes.
And I agree with Adam that she's, I think a, probably more a dark horse for like the top five than she yeah. is for like a bronze medal. But yeah, could definitely find herself near this top group of women if she skates well.
Yeah, she totally could. Now, I think we need to talk about some of our like our favorites in our heart who might not be like.
Should we do one more dark horse for the podium before we do that?
Yeah.
Nina Petrokina.
Yeah.
Yes.
European champion.
Yes.
The
we
last
love her.
2 years mm-hmm. from Estonia. Not somebody who anyone watching figure skating would have told you to look out for Milan 5 years ago or
no.
even 3 years ago. Or even 2 years ago.
Kind of like last year, I'd be like, yeah. okay, she won Europeans. That's a huge accomplishment.
Yep, but she won it again this year, and she won it with really big scores.
In yeah. very convincing fashion. And we hadn't seen her all year because she was injured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
so we didn't know. And so she comes back from this injury, wins her second European title, and looks literally better than ever.
True. Yeah. True.
It's
and
true.
So, and she gets, like Sarah said, these huge scores. And so now she truly is. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
my
She's
professional.
Have... Yeah.
Oh,
Nina,
shit.
I would say in the way that Adam was talking about, like, Kauri having a little bit almost like a masculine feel, like very powerful. Nina
yep.
has that, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a lot of power in her skating that we don't see that often in the women's event, and she's like really fun to watch. She famously in her gala show program commits
kills
a fake
men.
Murder of a
not
man.
A murders she's killing
Multiple
them
murders.
All off. She's skating to Chicago,
yeah, but she recruits so, men skaters to participate in her show program after competitions and kills them in
yeah.
her performance.
So much.
Yeah.
She's gonna be wearing like the most intricate braided bun situation you've ever seen for both programs.
Very
like,
Viking
like. It's very Viking.
Yeah.
Strong women.
Yeah. So I think
clean
that's...
and there's like wiggle room and maybe someone makes a mistake. Watch
I'd
out
say
for her.
Another
and you heard it here
I
first.
Put, yeah, like not a metal favorite, but someone who could be
but
waiting
a metal
in
snatcher.
The wings
she
if
could be a
people are not skating well.
Yeah.
Enter the void, can we?
Yeah, I think we should enter the void. One
yeah.
of
enter
just
the
like
void.
Our favorite skaters, one of my favorite skaters, because she just is so weird. And I mean this like in such a endearing way where she just like she skated to Squid Game last season. And
she would end a program on her stomach a lot of the time.
Yeah. And it's
oh, yeah.
And she's skating to Jaws this season. She has the nicest, slickest ponytail I've ever seen.
So moisturized.
And she's
glossed.
Improved so dramatically over the last few seasons. That like I really, really hope that she skates amazing at the Olympics. And she is the Italian, she's the hometown girl, Lara Naki Gutman.
We love her. She is beloved on this podcast, resident mm-hmm. weirdo. I was at an event with her and I had to explain to her that being called a cunt was a good thing. And a compliment. And now she knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now she's a cunt.
And yeah. Now she's
we
fully
always
embracing.
Call her a cunt.
And now she's embraced it.
Yeah. The free skate is her Jaws program. We love it. It's great. You're going to see
yeah.
a lot of shark fins.
Her eyeliner is drawn in the shape of fins. It's like It's great. She's fully committed to the bit. Yeah. It's, yeah, and she is going to be like beloved in Italy, obviously. I'm mm-hmm. so happy for her because she was the first skater out of Olympic qualifying 4 years ago. She was the very first skater to miss Olympic qualifying. Mm-hmm. She got to compete one program in the team event for Italy, but she did not qualify to actually compete in the women's event. So this is her debut. And she's like really found a stride in the last two seasons being more mm-hmm. competitive, like Adam said. So, yeah, we're huge fans. And she is, yes, as we like to say, a child of the void.
And she was just on the podium at Europeans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she just won the bronze medal at the Europeans. Like we said, like she went from not qualifying for the Olympics to winning medals on the Grand Prix series to now being a European medalist. It just seems like it's all kind of coming together for her at the right time. And yep. we love her. And I'm so excited for people to watch her skate in Milan. Now, there's somebody else who a few years ago we would have said would have been an absolute medal favorite, who has struggled a little bit in the past few seasons with injuries. And when I say a little bit, I mean a lot.
A lot.
But it is somebody who we also really fucking love. And she is the queen of the hookers.
Yeah.
She skates with her brother, who is her coach.
Her coach.
They don't skate together.
Yeah. She's a dancer.
And she is always going to be dressed like she knows that she's hot. And I am talking about...
Yeah, and she is hot.
And she is hot. I am talking about Luna Hendricks, who is a multiple-time world medalist, mm-hmm. but has really struggled a lot with injuries in the lead-up to this Olympics. She's had some good performances this season. Mm-hmm. She had to qualify her own spot. Belgium did qualify two spots to the Olympics, but the way that it works is that if there was not two skaters at the World Championships, because there weren't, then that second spot needed to be qualified by another individual. So Luna needed to earn her own spot at the World Championships. So she competed also in that test event with Adelia Petrosian and Anastasia Gubanova, and she skated very well there. She's been a bit up and down this season. So it's still like to be seen, like what kind of impact can she make in this field, but we love her.
We love her. She's skating to Cher.
She's skating to Celine Dion.
Celine Dion. She's basically.
Oh, I always get them confused.
Canadian Cher.
Well, no, I feel like she's always skating to a gay icon. That's more where I was getting
that
off.
That's
like, which,
true, yeah.
Going through my Rolodex, I'm like, which one is it?
Starts with a C.
You're like Christina Aguilera.
Right. They're all C's. You know, it also starts with C.
Britney Spears.
Cunt. Very cunt. Yeah.
Very
she,
cunt.
She's so
she's
fun
the most
to watch.
Cunt.
She's
she
so
is.
Fun to watch perform. She's been at the last two Olympics and was seventh in Beijing. And then at the last three. So she went to the World Championships in 2022, 2023, 2024 and got second, third and fourth and then missed all of last season before the Olympic season with an injury. And so mm-hmm. now it's just kind of like, you know, she's come back, but she hasn't been on a global stage against everybody since 2 years ago. And so it's just hard to know how she's going to stack up. But we know for sure that she's going to need to be clean to stack up against anybody because of the lost momentum.
Yeah.
Yes. But it she is... would fully gain her momentum back with a clean short program in this, because she would get a huge ass score. And it might be like, she should get one.
She should.
Where she does struggle technically is that of all of the triple jumps, she's the only one in the top who can't do one of them aside from the triple axel. She does not do a triple loop. So she is like at a disadvantage in the free skate technically, but she's somebody who can get really great like grades of execution. So for her, the key is short program. She needs to regain momentum and then, you know, just hope that being a cunt can get her to the top.
Yeah, being a cunt and being coached by her brother.
Mm-hmm. And being naked. Like, it is important for you to know that no one has been more inconvenienced by clothing than Luna Hendricks.
That's
and
so true.
You're going to see the bare minimum that she legally has to wear. And she's just, ugh.
Because otherwise you'd see her bare ass.
You'd see nipples. And we love her for it. Now, we have to talk about her fellow Belgian competitor, Nina Pinzeroni, also known as the world's youngest figure skater alive
of all time.
We do say this because 3 years ago, when her frontal lobe was even less developed, like, she said a quote that, like, we are now have been holding over her head.
Yeah.
And it's that she said that she was so much younger than Luna Hendricks when in reality, they have like a 4 or 5 year age difference.
It's like 7. It's like 7 years.
Okay, that's actually pretty young. Oh my god!
Wait, I wish it was like 2.
Well, it's like 7 years, but it was funny because she's saying it about a person who at that time I think was like 23. Like, she's talking about Luna Hendricks, like she's in the crypt
on the way to her grave.
And so that's why it was funny, not because there's no age gap, like there is, but it was just, she's calling this like woman in her early 20s.
Right. Old. A vivacious young woman.
Yes. A naked woman.
Naked woman. She's so young that she's comfortable being naked. Just think about that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sit on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, Nina Pinzeroni kind of broke out this quad. She was not competing on the senior level before Beijing.
Well, she wasn't alive.
She was born during the Beijing Olympics.
Right.
And she's now going to the Milan Olympics. But Nina has, I think, a lower ceiling than Luna Hendricks does. She has sort of smaller jumps, as in she just doesn't get a lot of air on her jumps, which can lead to issues with her getting her full amount of points for those jumps, but she has been fairly consistent for the last 3 years. She got seventh at the World Championships last year, basically earning a spot, you know, for Luna, to Adam's point earlier. Yeah. So she's been like a really pretty reliable competitor for Belgium. And she has the best dresses in the game.
And she does. That's something. These dresses are they're beautiful. Simple, but they're really stunning. They're just gorgeous dresses. Mm-hmm. She's packaged like she's from a family that owns horses.
Yeah.
Complimentary.
Complimentary.
When you said that the first time, I was like, oh my God, you're right. Like they own a stable.
Well, it looks like they didn't go to like a skating dressmaker. They were like, no, we know a tailor, and it's like Donatella Versace,
right?
Who's the tailor that the family knows, right?
Yeah, like, that's, Taylor that's an old family friend.
Let's see if we can get her to whip something.
Yeah,
up.
Hey Donna, is the sewing machine hot? Like, can you like that's what it feels like. Now, we have some notable names of like some like noteworthy people who we also feel like you just like they need to be on your radar as well. Mm-hmm. And the first name on this list is Ekaterina Kurakova from Poland. Mm-hmm. Now, will she make the free skate? We're not sure, because she can have some issues technically, but of everyone we've talked about, she's probably, for me, one of the best, like, entertainers, performers on the scene.
Through and through. And she's also beloved in skating. Like, people love her because she's such a performer. Last year, she skated to Cats. She wore, like, felt ears in her hair.
Oh, yeah.
She had an outfit change mid-ice that looked like she was stripping.
Yeah, taking her top off. Like.
I'll never forget the first time I saw that.
Well, because she was wearing a purple dress, and then underneath was like a very flesh tone pink dress. And the way that the costume change happened was that the skirt of the pink dress underneath was the top of the purple dress. So she had to like take it off the shoulders and push it down. And it looked at like every time I had a moment of panic and was like, oh, she's taking her top off.
So we love Katya.
Yeah. Also a former short, Russian.
Because we don't know if we'll see her free. Yeah.
True. Yeah. And, I mean, she's just so unpredictable. We very well could see her in the free skate and very well couldn't. And we're not sure. I would love to see her do Moulin Rouge in the free skate. So I hope she makes it. But yeah, Katya is another former Russian who switched to represent Poland almost 10 years ago. And she kind of had this like, she was like willing to say some things publicly about the system in Russia that a lot of people were not willing to say at the time. So she garnered a lot of, I think, goodwill in skating from being outspoken in that way.
Now, another skater on this list who's also from Russia, but represents Kazakhstan is Sofia Semeldelkina. And she is, she's very strong technically. She's a little bit like, there's a bit of like sometimes a malaise over her skating where it's not like she has yet to like break through. It feels like a malaise.
Yeah.
Trains in California.
She works with Rafael Artunian, our former coach, like part-time. She is, give her a couple of years and let's see where her career goes. She could be really competitive in a few years. She just needs some like zhuzhing.
Yeah. Well, she's also like medaled on the Grand Prix this season. Like she is competitive.
She's good.
But she's still like performance wise, when she breaks through, because it feels like she's just like she just needs more time in the oven performance wise.
Yeah.
But when
yeah.
she does do that, like she will be more competitive. But in this scope of things, like it's just somebody keep on the radar because technically, like if people make a lot of like if there's a lot of mistakes, she can find herself kind of more up towards. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Maddie Skeezus of
Maddie
Canada. Their lone Canadian entry. She will be skating to the Lion King in her free skate.
Short program.
Thank you. Just know whatever I say is not a fact. Unless Sarah
it's a
confirms
feeling.
It. It's a feeling. It's me thinking that it should be a free skate.
I agree with that. It's great.
Maddie has this great quote of when she said there was only one lone, as Ashley said, Canadian spot at this Olympic Games.
This quote is good.
And there was a competitor of hers. Her name was Gabby Dalman, who was
she's dead now.
Right. Who was. but Gabby Dalman was. I'm saying it again. She was a gold medalist at the 2018 Olympics in the team figure skating event. And she was on trying to make a comeback and who did. She was very close to making the team.
Yeah.
But Maddie Skeezus said when asked about Gabby's comeback, she said, "I respect it, but nobody's going to the Olympics over my dead body."
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
And I love
it. She said, yeah, over my dead body is someone else going to the Olympics. And I mean, I get it. Maddie Skeezus has been basically the sole Canadian representative at big international, like global events for this entire quad. She was at the 2022 Olympics and actually skated really well, like some of her best skating in the team event for Canada, and then didn't do as well in the individual event. Mm-hmm. Maddie also famously a couple of seasons ago was accused by a collegiate skater of stealing her dress design.
Yes.
Copying someone's dress design. So Maddie is maybe a dress thief.
Well, we do because we saw the dress and
we saw the dresses back to back. There's like, there's no,
they're
if you were
blue.
Hit the head,
they're blue
with a frying pan. Like you'd go, it's the same. And you'd
if
see
you were to ask my 2 year old daughter, are these the same dress?
She'd say
go,
yes.
They're blue.
Yeah.
She'd say yes.
She'd say yes. But
she'd go, yeah, lock her up.
Right. She is
be like,
criminal.
How'd you teach your daughter that, Ashley? Where did she learn lock her up?
Yeah. This but podcast is great for, is like a great for a quote, because she will speak her mind like the over my dead body. There was a Canadian national championships a year or two ago where she was like, this isn't even worth my time because there was no one in the audience.
She's kind of amazing in that way. She is amazing.
No, it is amazing. It's amazing because also to have that kind of confidence and also like maybe not get full credit for a triple-triple is so admirable.
Well, it's just,
we look up to her for that.
Annoying because like she has technically
she should
everything.
Be one of the best skaters in the world. She could be so
she really
good.
Should. And I just want to also say that like Canada only did qualify one spot and it was Maddie who qualified it. And it was like not lack of effort of why she only qualified one spot. It's just the field is so deep. She skated fine. I mean, it was not a disaster by any means.
No.
Yeah,
no,
I know. It was frustrating, though. She was one spot away from getting two spots for Canada. And just she was there in the short program, like was high enough to get two spots and then dropped in the free skate a little bit. So that was a bummer because we could be seeing two Canadians, which would have been so much fun.
Because they're both quotable.
Yeah.
Yeah. That true. We have really lost an opportunity because the press tour that these two women would be giving us actively against each other.
Absolutely.
I'm so bummed.
I know.
I'm so bummed.
We are getting ripped off.
Adam, do you want to introduce your family member?
Yes. And I think like unless you guys can think of other skaters that you think everybody should know, this I think is from Switzerland. We share a name that is not the same, but if you say it fast, it sounds the same. And it is Adam. No, it her name is Kimi Rapond from Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And I love that we share a name that sounds the same because she is tall, she's blonde, she is literally a model. And she's fantastic.
Stunning.
She's so gorgeous. Oh my God. She's drop dead. She really does almost look a little out of place out there. It looks like, no, sweetheart, you put your wings on and get on the runway. She looks like she should be at like a Victoria's Secret runway
does.
Model show.
Yeah, and she accidentally put skates on instead of a bikini.
And she's accidentally doing triple jumps.
Yeah.
But she's gorgeous. She's a medalist from the European Championships a few years ago. She's also dealt with some injuries.
Yeah.
So I don't know like what kind of form she'll show up at the Olympics, but she's like stunning, gorgeous.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
And
there was
I think
a little...
she's still dating Adam Xiao Himfa.
In the men's event.
Gorgeous couple.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know. Maybe. Ashley follows more of the relationships in skating.
Less of the skating. I'm not going to give you facts, but I am going to say this is who they're dating and this is how it's going.
Yeah. That's you know what?
We got to know.
It's helpful.
You got to know.
Kimi is another
I care about their relationships. I want them to be happy off the ice too.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Kimi is
right,
another
Ashley.
Skater Thanks. Who is coached by a sibling. In this women's event, because we said mm-hmm. Luna Hendricks coached by her brother, Kimi coached by her sister, mm-hmm. which is very like I love when the siblings are coaches. Like mm-hmm. the parents are coaches is nice, but siblings as coaches is really cute to me.
Parent dynamic stresses me out. Sibling dynamic, like you can fight with your sister.
No, you can fist fight with your sister.
You can fist fight
with your parents.
People are like character building. Like it's good.
Yeah,
they're going to figure it out. They just need to work this out together. Like you can't fight with your mom in the same way. So I mm-hmm. feel like it's a good dynamic.
With your fists is what I'm
right.
You can't fight your mom with your fists.
But siblings
but you can
claw
sister.
Their eyes out.
Yeah. And that's the grit it takes to be at this level.
Yeah.
This women's event is going to be so good. I can't emphasize enough to people who don't watch a lot of skating. This feels like the most wide open women's event at the Olympics in years.
Yes.
Agreed.
It's wide, wide open.
Like the last two Olympics, we sort of knew how they would turn out. Like, yes, there was crazy drama at the most recent ones, but like either way, it was going to be a Russian teenager, and it was. And like, same with the 2018 Olympics. Mm-hmm. And so this is very like, you know, it's wide open. Like, we've named 5 or 6 skaters that could win a gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. I can't wait.
I can't wait. And so you won't have to wait much longer either, because it's just around the corner.
It is just around the corner.
Yeah. So I hope yes.
I was just going to say the schedule for people who don't know.
This is how you can watch this.
Yeah. The women's short program is on Tuesday, February 17th. And the free skate is on Thursday, February 19th.
Yes.
And that will be, it's the final event of the Olympics.
Oh my God.
For figure skating.
My God. Yeah. Well, just end them then.
Yeah.
End it now.
Oh, well, enjoy.
Yeah.
I hope while listening, you found some people that you really want to cheer for.
Yep. It's and if you want to listen to us react to other things, we have other episodes and a Patreon that you can subscribe to.
Very true. We'll see you on the other side.
Ah!
Bye.